what's interesting about going out to eat and then also by the same token preparing meals for guests is that we find that when we go to somebody's house for dinner, we often get four courses, you know.
Yes, this is very important. The meals are, it's much more intense, or much, it's different. It's much more, the meal is longer, everything has a stage, you don't get everything together. You get a starter, you get the main course, you get cheese, and you get a dessert.
Yes, and sometimes a salad in between on
and
one of
those. And sometimes the salad, yes.
Yeah, we've had people stay for 6 hours.
Yes, I've seen that. You do some. No, that's not uncommon, too. It really isn't that uncommon to have a long meal.
Yeah. And by the same token, the meal at our friend's house will often last that long. I remember one meal we had at someone's house outside, and they had a mill, and there was a stream, and it was just really beautiful. And suddenly I looked at my watch, and it was 2 o'clock in the morning. And it was delightful, and probably would have gone on longer if I hadn't noticed how late it was. The other thing I find sometimes when I prepare a meal for guests, and I generally don't like to do more than six, it will take days of preparation. And the other thing, too, that's really funny is that the French are not accustomed with American customs of somebody bringing a dish to a meal. And I've suggested to some of our expat friends that maybe we could do that and we'd all feel more relaxed about having a meal more often together. Yeah, and have you gone to those community meals like in your town for around a theme, and they ask you to bring the couvert, which is all the things you eat with your glass, your plates, your bowls, your spoons, your napkins. And sometimes when we weren't used to doing that, we'd forget. And there we'd be at this dinner where other people would scramble to share theirs.
They would share their stuff. My town does a fête de la soupe populaire. And basically you bring your own bowl and a spoon. And you go around tasting different soups.
There's a soup tradition in the Périgord that's charming. When you finish your soup, you leave a little bit of soup left and add red wine and drink it.
That sounds interesting. Is it a certain type of wine?
Yeah, just a red wine to finish off the soup. And it's a tradition that happens. I mean, some villages have a fete for that soup. I mean, for that tradition of doing soup.
Does your village have a festival then, a little fete?
Quite a few. They have a dinner of a hunter's dinner. Local hunters will bring the sanglier or the boar that they've cooked and prepared, or deer. And then they have a mussels, a moule and pommes frites, mussels and french fries dinner. That's a benefit for the sports club. And the first one we went to, I think we were the only Americans there and only expats there. And they did this fabulous thing where two of the guys on the sports team were singers, and they started singing to each other. You know, one would sing something, a note of tra-la-la, and another would answer. And then they started dancing on the tables, and it was a lot of fun.
I've come across stuff like that, too. And the French do seem to like to sing a lot.
Yeah.
What's something that you don't like about France? For me, it's the bees, you know, the kiss on the cheek.
The lack of customer service makes it hard to get things taken care of.
Well, yeah, you know, that's the thing I've noticed. When you go into a store, you have to ask for help. Normally in America, I remember one time I was in some store, and I got asked like 5 times that I need any help.
Yes.
And in France, normally not.
Well, there's another custom that's sort of related to this, and this is the two-part thing. The way when you're in line at the post office, or if you're buying bread or whatever, somebody ahead of you in line may be talking about the cousins and then the cousin's wife and then the what happened in the village the other day, and it goes on for 10 minutes. And this happens a lot. You just have to learn to be patient, and there's no sense in getting upset about it. But the thing that gets my goat is the very same people will get in their car and ride your bumper.
Yeah.
Like there was no tomorrow. We live in a very, very hilly area, and our roads are extremely dangerous because there are lots of hairpin turns. We're not mountainous, but there are lots of valleys and ridgetops, and they will pass you on a blind curve. And yeah. I just, I'm terrified in my car sometimes.
What piece of advice would you give somebody moving to France?
To take your time doing it, know where you want to be, and just be patient and realistic and keep your sense of humor and be persistent. A lot of times, if we hadn't kept going back somewhere where we wanted somebody to work with us or we wanted a certain thing done on our house or whatever, and it wasn't, you didn't succeed the first time, you just have to keep trying. I have learned that if you are just polite and you don't go away, you usually can get help.
That's a very good advice.
It doesn't help to get angry because it just makes it worse for both you and the worker, I think. I've been angry, but I've fumed outside, not with them.
Is there anything else you would like to add?
One of the things that we felt at the very beginning that we still feel is that this was the right decision for us. We're much happier here than we were in our last few years in New York. People to us say, well, how can you move from New York City to rural France? And, well, it's very easy.
You just do it.
You do it, and life is very good.
And, you know, I didn't think about that, but going from New York to a village of a couple hundred, it's pretty big.
Well, for example, the thing, I guess, one of the things I really respect about how France runs is the medical care system. And here, I went to a doctor for a procedure I'd had in New York, just a skin thing, and I went to the doctor because my New York doctor wanted me to just go check it out. When I went to the doctor, he said, well, you know, you really should wear lots of skin lotion, but you have to put on every 2 hours. And I said, but I was a windsurfer when I was younger. And he said, ah, now life's more important, isn't it?
You know, it's funny because there was an in-law who had the same type of story. Doctors suggested he'd lose some weight or something, but he said, you still got to live well.
Yeah, we don't have cholesterol problems here.
We don't have cholesterol. Well, anyway, you know, you're supposed to drink the wine. You drink a glass at each meal and you're fine.
Right. And my doctor said, well, do you drink three glasses of wine a day? And I said, yeah, probably. And he said, that's good. Now, my American doctor would say, this is something else about the Périgord. The Périgord grows are walnuts. I think it's the largest walnut region in France.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Walnuts are very good for cholesterol and your health. And the other thing that's good is goosefat. It's high in HDLs. So the best thing you can eat here is potatoes fried in goosefat with raw garlic and parsley on them.
Is that a dish?
Yep. It's a Périgordian dish.
Ah, we leave it on a high note. That's very good.